And Weiss ordered this whistleblower taken off the case. And so now we're supposed to trust that, oh, he's going to get tough now. He crafts a sweetheart deal. And when that falls apart, now he issues criminal charges? He's lost all credibility. How does he go into court now? Greetings, friends. Welcome to the Straight Talk Podcast. I am your host, America Sheriff. Former sheriff of Milwaukee County. A couple things we're going to talk about today. First is the so-called debate, RNC debate that went on last week. No, I didn't watch it. I have better things to do with my time. But of course, I always read the news stories that follow it. And I listen to some of the audio because you can't get around it on the news stations anyway. So that's an easier way to not waste my time than to sit down there for 2 hours, an hour and a half, whatever it was, watching this sophomoric food fight. My reaction. Cafeteria food fight, I should say. It was an embarrassment. These supposed distinguished individuals, they're all educated. They all have something going for them. You would expect them to act like adults in this environment, but they don't. You know, they're all fighting for second place. I know that. That's another reason why I didn't watch it. But I saw some of the exchanges that went on and the talking over each other. And I know you've heard this as well. And for those of you that actually watched it, you saw it. It's embarrassing. This thing is turning into a clown show. First of all, in my opinion, these debates don't have the value that they once had. You know, everybody talks about, well, we want to see them all on the same stage at the same time. And they're all, you know, they agree on a lot of things. And then they just attack each other. It reminds me of this analogy. And I don't even know if this is true. I've never experimented with it. The crabs in a bucket. And the saying goes, if there's one crab in the bucket, the crab can get out. But if you put in numerous crabs, none of them can get out because they're all busy trying to tear each other down. If somebody gets close to the top, they all attack that person and bring that crab back down so none of them can get out. And that's what this reminds me of. And you know, I guess shame on the RNC for doing this. Like I said, you know, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, when you didn't have the 24/7 media coverage on politics like you do today, these things might have had a lot of value. You know, they weren't interviewed by, you know, 100 media sites about their policies and what they will do and what they'll do on day one. And then you got people up there acting just like a total ass, like Chris Christie, trying to be cute and funny. I think, what was he, around 1% of the vote? In the polling, I should say, when I say the vote, the polling. So, you know, and then at the end, of course, you know, well, who won? Who was the winner? Who cares? How do you determine a winner? When you ask all seven people that were up there, they all say they won. All of them claim they won. And their supporters claim they won. So the supporters of Mike Pence would say Mike Pence won. The supporters of Vivek Ramaswamy would say, Vivek, well, I don't know how to pronounce it, then he won. Nikki Haley's folks would say, Nikki Haley won. Ron DeSantis' folks would say, Ron DeSantis won. I don't know how you even determine a winner. You know, because the rules on debates don't really apply here, and the fact is that the individuals on the stage don't stick to the rules anyway. Like I said, interrupting each other, they're told, you know, you have 3 minutes to respond or 2 minutes to respond. And then when the 2 minutes is up, you know, they'll say, you know, your time's up. And then they just keep talking. What they should do is just cut the microphone at 2 minutes and let these folks know ahead of time. At 2 minutes, the mic's going to be cut. And then let them look like fools up there. Their lips are moving, but you hear no sound because the mic's been cut off. So I guess there's another one coming up in November. I think this one's in Florida. And who knows if President Trump will be at that one. He hasn't been at the first two. And I think that strategically, I'm talking, ladies and gentlemen, strategically, it's smart for him not to even go. Because when you saw what happened last week, can you imagine those seven people ganging up on Donald Trump and just acting like fools and using his standing to take center stage and try to club away at him? No, Donald Trump shouldn't participate in this nonsense. Anyway, let's turn the page here. Let's talk about the budget crisis that we have to deal with every single year, because the House will not pass a budget. All we do is we operate on continuing resolutions and omnibus spending packages to duct tape this economy together, massive spending, voted on by both parties. So, of course, they went to the 11th hour, as they always do. Nothing new here. And a shutdown was averted. Partial shutdown, whatever they call it. I was hoping for a shutdown. I'm tired of the same old thing going on in Washington, D.C. We need the chaos. We the people. We need the chaos. Because if we want something new, then we have to stop doing what we've always done. And it's just continue with the massive spending. The other out-of-control things going on in the economy. We wonder why we have inflation. Well, it was brought on by the government. And we can say, well, you know, Bidenomics and blame Joe Biden. Well, come on, this is you and me talking here, folks. Both parties are guilty of it. Massive spending. The growth of government. And we just keep on keeping on. And then as soon as all of the hysterics go away, like with the raising of the debt ceiling, remember that? Oh my God, the world's going to end. Oh, we got to pay our debts. And then, you know, they come to a conclusion on that and everybody just kind of goes away. It wasn't that long ago. And nobody today is talking about, well, very few people, I should say, are out of control debt and our deficit spending. We just allow the media to lead us around by the nose and move on to the next thing. I mean, this September 30th deadline, you know, the new budget year starts on October 1st. I don't know how that came to be, but October 1st. And it comes around every year, by the way. Breaking news. And it'll be on October 1st of 2024, too. We know that a year from now, and nothing will be done until the last week of September of 2024. So that's why we're in this predicament, this same old here. So there's a 45-day reprieve. You know when they'll get back to this? On day 44, count 44 days from today. And that's when the Congress will scurry. They'll be running around like chickens with their heads cut. Oh, we got to do something. Oh, my God. And you know what? The thing that bothers me, that's going to be close to the holidays. That's when they know the American people turn politics off. They want to enjoy their Christmas, Hanukkah. They want to enjoy time with family and friends for the holidays. They don't care about this crap during the holidays. Just like they don't care about it during the summer. So they know, Congress, the Washington insiders, that they'll be able to slap something together and bum rush it through right before Christmas, right? You know, probably like after Thanksgiving. maybe right at Thanksgiving. That's how this thing works every single year. Don't you get sick of it? I know I do. So I guess our only saving grace, when I say our, let me be clear, conservatives, true conservatives, not the fake ones in Washington, D.C., the ones who just say they are, but they're really not. Because if you're a true conservative, you support less spending. You'd support limited government. And you can't do that when you're passing trillion-dollar packages. You can't say you support limited government and less spending and less taxation. So they know that just sounds good back home. And it sounds good for a sound bite on whatever cable news show that they appear on. Because nothing changes in Washington, D.C. So that's what we'll be dealing with now. And then, you know, there's all the other stuff going on in Washington. The impeachment inquiries are starting. But here's another thing that we have to keep watch. The Freedom Caucus, that's our only out, our meaning conservatives. You got to draw a line in the sand. Kevin McCarthy is dead man walking. Now, let me explain. He sold his soul to be able to become Speaker of the House. He weakened himself, took 15 votes to finally be named Speaker. And he had to sell his soul. He had to give up all these things that the House Freedom Caucus wanted, and good for the House Freedom Caucus. But he walks in a weak state, in a very fragile state. And so you look at him now with this continuing resolution or this budget crisis, whatever. And, you know, they claim, well, he can't keep his caucus together. He walked in a weakened state. That's what happens when you sell your soul to the devil to become something. So as they say, that for Kevin McCarthy, the chickens are coming home to roost. And now Matt Gaetz, representative from Florida, is threatening to recall Kevin McCarthy. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because I'm listening to Republican pundits talk about how this is a bad move. This is going to hurt because it's going to take the focus off of impeachment. It's going to take the hell with that. The Democrats know how to take the attention off of impeachment. Even if they don't, impeach Biden or go on with these hearings, the Democrats know how to take the focus off. They know people will lunge for shiny objects. So there'll be something coming out soon, by the way, that'll happen that'll change the news cycle. That's a game that's played in politics. These people in Congress should be able to do more than one thing at one time. Remember when the big deal was Hunter Biden? And it's kind of gone away? Kind of? His name comes up every once in a while. They had all these hearings about Biden and the corruption. Very little came of it. So you have this budget crisis, potential recall of Speaker Kevin McCarthy, and you have the impeachment thing going on in Washington, D.C. That's okay. I don't know why these conservative Republican, I should call them, pundits are wringing their hands over this. Oh, this is a bad move. Oh, no, it's not. We need the chaos. I'm hoping for the chaos. That's the only way we're going to be able to dismantle this monstrosity that is Washington, D.C. Let's move on. I want to get into this topic that I talked about on this podcast. I talked about extensively, and the media covered it at the time. Maybe it lasted a week. And this is Army Private Travis King. You may recall he's the guy that deserted the United States Army, fled voluntarily into North Korea, turned himself over to them, And I said at the time, leave his ass over there. Don't spend and waste any diplomatic anything on Travis King. He went over there voluntarily. We get to do that as Americans. We're free to leave. You're free to leave the United States and go profess allegiance to some commune. You're free to do that here. He wasn't captured. He left willingly. He's a deserter. Well, anyway, you may have heard, because this story about his return only lasted a day or two, but I want to drill down a little bit into this. So here's a story from Yahoo News. Could Army Private Travis King, just back from North Korea, face charges for desertion going AWOL? I'm going to read a couple of excerpts from these two articles here, and then I want to make some comments. I'll make some comments along the way. So just to bring you up to speed on this, because the media left it real quick. King's the soldier who sought refuge in one of the world's most repressive regimes. He returned to Fort Sam Houston in Texas on Thursday. Teams of doctors and mental health professionals there will examine him and put him through the Army's reintegration process, a ritual with roots in treating POWs from Vietnam. Now, let me stop right there. Travis King, not a POW. Travis King wasn't captured in war. He left on his own. As a matter of fact, you may recall, because I do, when he crossed into the heavily armed border from South Korea into North Korea, there were reports that he was laughing as he crossed over. This is sick. This is aggravating. Back to the story here. On the other side, likely lies military sanctions. Possible charges include being absent without leave to the more serious crime of desertion. The Korean Central News Agency claimed King confessed that, quote, so this is a quote from King, he illegally entered the territory of the Republic out of antipathy toward inhumane abuse and racial discrimination within the U.S. military and disillusionment with the unequal American society. That's Travis King. So it says, after his release from jail in July, this is when he was still in South Korea, King had been scheduled to return to Fort Bliss, Texas for what the Pentagon has termed administrative action. The step is not intended to be punitive and can include counseling, a reprimand, or being kicked out of the service. So that's what he was facing if he just would have returned back to the United States. So it says here, the Pentagon later determined that King, 23, had been AWOL. Punishments for being absent without leave vary depending on the circumstances and can include jail time, loss of rank, and a dishonorable discharge. Conviction on the more serious charge of desertion can result in years of imprisonment. The Army could seek more serious charges, quote, to make an example of him. There are about 28,000 U.S. troops stationed in South Korea, and a harsh sentence would send a message not to repeat King's actions. That's what needs to happen here. Send a message. Deterrence. It's the same thing we won't do in the United States anymore when it comes to criminal behavior on the streets. We will not adequately punish unwanted behavior as a deterrent and as a message and for accountability. We find all these excuses. Well, he's a troubled young man. Oh, he's got some mental health issues. BS. He was a soldier. And if you want to send a message to those 28,000, not just those 28,000 troops in stationed along the border in Korea, the demilitarized zone, but all throughout the United States, this stuff won't be tolerated. So it says, cases of soldiers going AWOL or deserting are fairly common, but prosecutions are rare, said Don Christensen, the former top prosecutor for Air Force. Desertion seems clear-cut in King's case, Christensen said. Yes, it is very clear-cut. But the fact that these prosecutions are rare is probably part of the problem. So here's a U.S. Army spokesman, Bryce Duby. He said in a statement that King could face future action from the Army, but for now, the focus is on his well-being and privacy. Are you effing kidding me? Has the Army gone that soft? For now, the focus is on his well-being and privacy. What about our well-being? What about the well-being of his colleagues that he left? You see what I mean? We coddle these people and we find excuses. Well, we're concerned about, I'm not concerned about Travis King's well-being. To hell with him. So it says King will be flown to Fort Sam Houston in San Antonio. Will go through the military's reintegration process used to reacclimate Americans who have been detained overseas. He was not detained overseas. He left on his own. I mean, this stuff, just the words, and words matter. So then here's this a comment from U.S. Army. It says, U.S. officials have secured the return of Private Travis King from the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. We appreciate the dedication of the interagency team that has worked tirelessly out of concern for Private King's well-being. There we go again. Why is all this about Private King? Again, I'll say it. He left on his own. He's a deserter. So it says here, according to this report, Private King was very happy to be on his way home. Wait a minute. I thought he was disillusioned over unequal treatment in the United States and the inhumane treatment by the U.S. military. I thought he was disillusioned. Now he's happy to return to that disillusionment? Does anybody else, when they're reading and hearing stuff, does anybody else pick up on this like I do? Or am I the only one? Am I a man alone on this? Happy to return to the United States. He voluntarily left. And then he slammed America while he was gone. You know, that has been quite clear as we have resumed our contact with him, and he's very much looking forward to being reunited with his family. He left his family. That's the sentiment that is pervading all else right now, an official said, and this is the problem. All about King's well-being. After what he did, after what he put the country through, after what he put the military through, causing us to have to be diplomatically involved to secure his return, I would have left his ass over there. The hell with him. By the way, the fact that North Korea voluntarily let him go lets you know he had no political value. Otherwise, they wouldn't have done it. So here's another line. It's gratifying that King was able to return to the United States. Oh, really? The operational complexity that we're pointing to here obviously includes a few factors and includes the fact that all these pieces had to come together quickly and with the greatest concern for Private King's care and ensuring his safe and healthy transition home, a senior administration official said. This stuff makes me vomit. I don't know about you. You come to your own conclusion. I don't give a damn about Travis King. If I'd have never heard his name again, I would have been fine. So actually, North Korea expelled him because he had no political value. I mean, this guy, Travis King, it's almost like he's being given a hero's welcome home. This is how we treat heroes. Like POWs. Like people who are unlawfully detained in some of these repressive regimes that are arrested and in jail and then held indefinitely and accused of stuff that, you know, spying and all this other nonsense? That's not king. He didn't deserve a hero's welcome home. I mean, they roll out the red carpet treatment for this stuff with some of these quotes from these military officials. Shame on them. It's a slap in the face to anybody who's ever worn the uniform of their country in service, and for those who have died defending freedom. And we're going to give King that treatment? I wouldn't be surprised if he's and his family are hosted at the White House. Because he's a black guy, see, and, you know, Biden can get some, score some political points. Much like, although he wasn't black, Bergdahl. Remember him? He's the guy that left his post. Was that over in Afghanistan, I think, or was it? I can't remember if it was Afghanistan or what, but he left his post. And they secured his release. And Obama hosted his parents at the frickin' White House after he was turned back over to the United States. Are you kidding me? Is this what we have become? Again, Bergdahl made a hero. Heroes welcome. How many of you could tell me who Evan Gershkovich is? Evan Gershkovich. Evan Gershkovich is the Wall Street Journal reporter who was detained, okay, arrested, taken into custody, over in Russia and jailed and accused of being a spy. Now I know that's the all-inclusive when these countries do this, these repressive regimes, you know, he's a spy. No evidence of him being a spy. He's not a spy. He's a Wall Street Journal reporter. Has been most of his adult career. I mean, he's been a reporter. He's a journalist. Journalists, for the most part, even in these repressive regimes, they're off limits. It's hands off on journalists. They're allowed to move about, and you kind of have this code, this unwritten rule about journalists. You let them freely move around in these repressive regimes to report. These war zones, they're giving a pass. So Evan Gershkovich has been in custody for a couple months now. I don't hear any stories about him. The Wall Street Journal, because he was a Wall Street Journal reporter, they will write one once in a while. And recently, by the way, he was denied a appeal of a hearing to secure his release. The Russian court said no. I don't hear anybody making a big deal about Evan Gershkovich. And why isn't he a household name, but Travis King is? You see how upside down this damn country is? Evan Gershkovich, his name should be mentioned every single day, especially by the news media. He's one of yours. For heaven's sakes. You rushed to cover this return of Travis King, talking, you know, as if he was a POW, talking about him in glowing terms, when the guy's a creep. And then one of their own, this Evan Gershkovich, that's a, you know, also ran. Honorable mention. Every once in a while, his name comes up. And it's usually, like I said, by the Wall Street Journal because he's a Wall Street Journal reporter. We got this ass backwards, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't hear a lot of people talking about it. Not just from a media standpoint, but like I said, he's one of theirs. From a political standpoint, where's the State Department? How come they're not feverishly working for his return? Like they were for Travis King. You heard me read from this article. It says what this tireless diplomatic endeavor. Tirelessly, it says. Are they working tirelessly to secure the release of the Wall Street Journal article or reporter Evan Gershkovich? I don't think so. Thanks for joining me. Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, Mike Lindell and MyPillow are launching the MyPillow 2.0. When Mike invented MyPillow, it had everything you could ever want in a pillow. Now, nearly 20 years later, he discovered a new technology that makes MyPillow even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with the brand new fabric that is made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. Say goodbye to tossing and turning and flipping your pillow over in the middle of the night. And more great news on the MyPillow 2.0, a buy one, get one free offer with promo code Clark. MyPillow 2.0, with its temperature regulating technology, is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square to receive the MyPillow 2.0 buy one, get one free offer. Just when you thought MyPillow couldn't get any better, it does. MyPillow 2.0 gives you the best pillow ever. Enter promo code Clark, that's C-L-A-R-K-E, to get your MyPillow 2.0 now. Friends, I want to thank you for listening to today's episode of Straight Talk with yours truly, America Sheriff David Clark. And a special thank you also goes out to our sponsors. My goal, as always, is to break down these complex and many times controversial issues and bring it to you straight with a little dose of common sense, no media bias, no talking points, just truth. And this podcast would not be possible without your support. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, please leave a review at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite place to listen. And please share this message of common sense on social media. For more content, be sure to follow me on Truth Social, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And just a reminder, we'd love for you to join our Straight Shooters VIP podcast club for only $5 per month. And with that membership, you'll receive invitations to attend private podcast events throughout the year as a VIP guest when we come to your town. Plus, if you join today, you'll also receive a free coffee mug and a sample of our private label coffee as long as supplies last. Subscribe and join at AmericaSheriff.com. This podcast is brought to you by AmericaSheriff.com with executive producer Judy Wilkinson of JL Wilkinson Consulting and producer Josh Wentz in partnership with our friends at Bulldog Media. If you are interested in partnering with Straight Talk Podcasts or having me speak in your area, please contact Judy at jlwilkinsonconsulting@gmail.com, 706-518-2116. That's jlwilkinsonconsulting@gmail.com. Phone number 706-518-2116.